What month is this? March.
Is it?
Is March, that where we're winter, at?
It's dark.
It just feels like January forever.
I'm just getting older and older.
Uh-huh. Yeah, time older. Keeps passing, but the seasons don't change. Is this
like
hell?
I just did March, like, 5 minutes ago, and now we're at the next March.
And it just, time keeps rolling.
Marching, if you will.
Oh, good pun. Well done.
Welcome among everybody's dad, who they're embarrassed of.
I lay under my sad lamp for about 6 hours this morning. I'm feeling okay, so let's do this.
Are you feeling mysterious?
The name's Sherlock Holmes and the address is 221B Baker Street. Afternoon.
A little scared, detective. I've got something, but I don't know how to tell you.
Well,
my husband can never know.
Take out your hanky and...
And my smelling salts?
Brow, your smelling salts, your weird Victorian stuff. Super goth.
Do you like how my bustle makes my ass look really good,
though?
That's right. Yes.
Intrigue, blood in the streets.
Denial. We've got...
Sexual dalliance.
Yes.
Spies,
adultery. Oh.
Adultery. And everything going on simultaneously in the 1890s and in the 2010s. Barely any difference.
It's like we were just talking about time goes on, nothing changes.
Nothing changes, according to...
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Wait, what?
Stephen Moffat.
And Stephen Moffat.
Who likes to take Doyle and just go nuts.
Yeah, just put him in a blender with a little bit of crack cocaine and see what happens.
That's right. Oh. So to talk about Sherlock Holmes, really we're talking about the two most iconic television series today.
Mm-hmm.
Even though there's a million iterations.
Too many,
of
one
this
could
character.
Say. Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it does feel like there is too many. Some of them are really great.
Yeah.
A lot of them are trash.
Yes.
Oh. Screen, stage. It never stops being a source of our entertainment.
Nope.
So God bless Doyle. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know what he was doing.
Nope.
It was a little serial in a magazine, and then no one could let it go.
And just, what was your introduction to the greatest detective?
My dad reading me The Speckled Band, very, very young age, like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It was really scary.
Mm.
And then I think when I was about the same age, the Granada series started, which
very
I did
cool.
find easier to understand in a way, because it is the books, but you're watching it happen. They would freeze frame and go into the illustrations. Like, it was so carefully done to
be.
They wanted it to be like the books, but of course everything is going to have a flourish when you have artists involved and actors involved, and the writers would add bulk
stories
a lot of the time that what maybe wasn't there.
Because a lot of these were short stories, right?
That's right.
Yes. So then they've got to fill an hour to an hour and a half of screen time.
Watching it on screen, you want the characters need to be a little more three-dimensional. They're the Poirot series, the Agatha Christie's, do the same thing.
Sure.
We're gonna just bulk this up a little bit.
Yeah, just pad it, give it a little life.
And so that series went on for, God, like 10 years. It went too long.
Well, there was the Mystery of Sherlock Holmes, and there was like the Casebook of Sherlock Holmes, and the Return of Sherlock Holmes. So was it kind of all one series, like continually, but just with different names as it would come back?
Well, yeah, but it was, it was like seasons, right?
Oh, okay,
The first season was like the first series of, they'd name them after the series of short stories.
Right.
Like the Casebook, and that's actually a thing.
Okay,
The stories out of order. Like, they didn't just follow the order.
Right,
They pick the first season. That's why the first season has some of the strongest stories in it, because they were just coming out of the gate, like, boom, boom, boom. And that's probably the best season there is that first one.
Okay.
Some people don't. It was a different Watson. It's kind of interesting. And some people, he played it a little dumber.
Oh, okay.
A little bit. They didn't go to that super stupid, like, stereotype, but he was just a little thicker, and Edward Burke seemed a little more intelligent to me. Yeah. That was the difference. They were both pretty good. I didn't really have a problem with the first guy. It was just the way he chose to play it. But the earlier, the first, second, and third, those are the ones I think you'd want to get into if you were just starting to watch it.
Right.
because the return is fun. You know, you get to see him go off the cliff and then return, mm-hmm. and all of that fun stuff is mm-hmm. in those first few seasons. And it's really when Brett was at his most healthful, on the money, really doing the character.
Before his health had declined.
His health declined, and he was really too old when he started. He was just very young-looking and very healthy, and then that sharply changed.
Yeah.
And he did seem to age about 20 years, even though the show only lasted about 10.
Just looking at pictures from, of like, when he first started the series to the episode that we're talking about today, which is filmed 2 years before he died.
Right.
Big change.
Yeah.
Big change.
And actually, I mean, in this episode we're talking about, I actually don't think he looks too... He would do this weird thing where he'd sort of slide and then he'd pull his shit together.
What do you mean?
And it was like, he'd just physically just slide a little bit.
Okay.
But then it would seem to come back and you'd be like, oh, he's not too bad. And then it would go again. So it really, he hovered, like his weight would go up and down.
Yeah, yeah.
His look would go up, like... You know, and just in fluctuate. This particular episode for season six, I turned it on the other night and I thought, oh, he actually looks okay in this.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not, you know, because some of them he almost can't. He sits the whole time.
Shit.
Near the end.
Yeah.
Near the end. Sure. And that's why the character seemed not right. Because in the first episodes, he's leaping all over the place.
Climbing the walls.
Yeah,
and like
he's
a
tiny little thing.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that changed it. But you can also say his acting was still pretty good. And you can just say, well, this is Sherlock Holmes as an older man.
Yeah.
That's what I would try to do for myself.
Yeah.
So I could still enjoy them. It was drastic. But the show also went, I think it was too long because much like the current series, the last few episodes are more questionable than the earlier ones. You're just like, they are running out of material and ideas for what they can do to surprise you.
Which is, because I usually credit the Brits with knowing when to stop a series.
Right.
Like, let's just call it.
Yeah.
We're not going to get, it's not going to get better than this, you know, with Fawlty Towers. Yeah. Six episodes. And like, never.
Wait, I want to watch it right now.
Oh my God, it's so fucking good. And like, would never dare to touch it again because it's perfect.
Yeah.
A lot of source material to work from. Like, they've got just a ton of stuff to pull from and they can just keep going. Yeah. So, yeah, it probably made them a ton of money.
Oh yeah.
But it's too bad when it goes a bit past its peak.
But also, you can never take away those earlier ones. That's how I like to think of it, too.
Yeah.
Like, nothing can change those. No new show can change them.
Nope.
You want to read the book, you can also look at the show.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
They're
just
that
great,
good.
Great adaptations. Yeah. Yeah, I was first introduced by a really terrible stage production.
Okay.
Yeah, it was real bad. It was just goofy. It was super goofy. And I was like, what the f-? Like, because I remember the poster, it was very like noir. And I was so excited because I'd heard a lot about Sherlock Holmes. I'd never seen it. And so I was like, oh my God, this is going to be like a thriller and a detective and intrigues and spies. And it was more of a farce. And I kind of left being like, is that what Sherlock Holmes is?
Do you remember a couple years ago when David Arquette came to Toronto with a Sherlock Holmes show? Because I remember I was walking with my friend Michael down the street, and we looked up and saw the sign on like a street light, and I just went, watch out, Cumberbatch. David Arquette's in town. We couldn't believe it. We just were like,
I forgot about that.
And I'm not sure it was supposed to be a comedy, but I was just like, that is tragic.
Yeah.
David.
Yes.
David.
I remember reading some reviews for it.
And I can't even imagine.
I think it closed as soon as it opened. You know, one of those hits.
Right.
Curtain rose and they're like, and we're done. And
so
you're done.
Yeah, I was just like, Toronto's not going to take that. They're not going to take it.
No, but it was. I knew a woman who was playing opposite him. That's what it was.
Oh.
I'll have to tell you some stuff about it later.
Yeah, that's an off-mic conversation. I feel like if the Granada series happened now, Jeremy Barrett would be a huge movie star.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I'm
saying?
Yeah. But that didn't work like that then. And I'm fine. He was a successful actor, but look what happened to Cumberbatch. Now,
my God.
He wouldn't have if he wasn't so good.
No.
But that show definitely made him a household name.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. That was the first thing I remember knowing him from.
Yeah. When it started, I sort of... Yeah, it was sort of ringing a bell in the back of my head, but I had to look it up.
Okay.
And I realized I only knew who he was because I was such a theater geek, and he'd done this very famous National Theater Frankenstein where he played both the monster and the doctor.
Right.
They go back and forth.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And I was like, hey, this could be interesting.
Guy.
Do you remember the first time you watched the new series.
Yes. I remember it, like where I was. Really? No, it did a lot for me.
Yeah. Was it the first episode or was it somewhere? Yeah, me too.
Yeah. No, it had like just come out. My sister watched it and she was like, you need to get on this shit now.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was at my friend's apartment in Victoria in BC where I used to live. And we watched it and it just blew my mind. I loved the whole conceit of the show, the way that they would put onto screen his thoughts and the different things that were going through his head and how he would label things and how quick it was. And I like when I find a show that moves faster than my mind can, you know, that like makes me keep up with it.
2010.
Yeah.
I was like, well, reboot, don't make it modern. I just didn't like the sound of it. And then within 15 minutes, I just thought, I've got to tell my dad about this. Like, this is... And they had watched it as well. Because what delighted me, so besides how the quality was insanely good, was that they retained that gothic flavor that only these stories have. And made it today.
Agreed. There's obviously the technology that changes the way that Holmes works. No, I feel like the quality and the content of the stories could be adapted and moved to pretty well any time period, and you could place Sherlock Holmes there and have just as interesting an episode.
I thought the scene that really stuck out to me in an early episode was them going to this Chinese circus concert type thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I just, the whole, and then he ends up backstage, he's in a fight with the guy, but the whole time I just thought, this could be the old show.
Sure, this could be
the old show. Even the weird show and how they're like, the exotic Orient and all this shit they did. But you were just like, this works. Yeah. This is Arthur Conan Doyle right here. And there was no, like, you just thought this could be 1890.
Yeah.
But it also could be now. And that's the little magical pockets they find in that show.
Yeah.
Where they do shit like that, that I love.
Yeah.
And it's not saying there's no such thing as technology. They're also saying not everything has changed.
And that you don't always have to rely on technology to be, it's like super sleuth. Right. Like he goes so much above and beyond.
Yeah.
And that's, I want to bring that up later. I have some questions to ask. It is interesting to see, Sherlock Holmes with the aid of technology and without. And there's a big difference, but it's still, that's not where he lives. Like, he relies on his mind
above anything
else, and that I appreciate. That fucking sociopath.
Well.
Yeah.
Sure, that's what sociopaths are like, but.
Well, not all sociopaths.
Think any sociopaths. I think they set that up to be his cover. Unless you can cure sociopathy completely, because look at him at the end of the series.
Did they go the right direction? Well, you know.
I don't know.
We'll save it for a bonus.
But that is what happened.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those things you tell yourself to help you repress any emotional entanglement of any kind. I think when the character goes off, shoots the wall, and is bored shooting the wall and all the shit they made him do.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that's sociopathy or something else, because that is an emotional response.
That's very true.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's not positive.
Yeah.
But it's not nothing.
But sociopathology? Is that how you... That's not like a lack of emotion. It's a complete...
it's not being able to empathize.
Empathize, which he does. Yeah. He is empathetic.
That's his whole thing.
Yeah.
Interesting. But okay, so we wanted to start. We were going to compare two of the more similar treatments.
Yes.
Of a story in the Granada series was called The Master Blackmailer.
And in the Moffat series, it's called His Last Bow.
Is John with you?
Ethan.
Is John here?
He's downstairs.
So, what do you do now? Kill us both?
Mary, whatever he's got on you, let me help.
Oh, Sherlock, if you take one more step, I swear I will kill you.
No, Mrs. Watson. You won't.
I'm sorry, Sherlock. I truly am.
Switching it up.
Hello.
Yeah.
New year,
so
new
us. I feel like this is the more familiar episode.
Yeah.
Quite possibly.
The one that people will more likely have seen than the Jeremy Brett.
So, first of all, the name change.
Yeah, what? Name and nationality change, yes. which was interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
So in the original, he's English, and in when I say original, I'm talking about the source material. The, like we'll go yeah. instead of the Granada series. He's English. Last name's Milverton. This one it's Magnuson, mm-hmm. and he is.
They get Lars Mikkelsen to play him. Also. You're welcome, everybody. Admiral Thrawn in Star Wars Rebels. I was like, who's that voice?
Ooh,
I know it is. Love it. Okay. And he's great.
He's great.
Because you need a bad guy to go up against your head guy. Because how often have we talked about when the bad guy's weak, the whole thing is shit.
It just crumbles. And there's nothing, there's no investment there. But when you are intrigued to the point of, not rooting for the bad guy, but at least wanting him to like get far enough. So
fascinated.
Exactly. Yeah. When you can undermine Sherlock Holmes, you've got my attention.
Yes. And I love the descriptor of him as like a shark, the flat face, and they really play that up. This poor guy, he's not a bad looking guy.
No.
But they take everything that's odd about him and amp it up.
Yeah.
That stuff.
Yeah.
Which the character has these spectacles that they talk about that even in the story.
Yes.
All incarnations of this character have these little spectacles.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So they did. That I thought they kept a lot, especially the low life, gross intimidation factor.
Oh,
put a real
my
modern
God.
Spin on it as well.
That's just like elitist. Like just the little things that
putting
he did.
His tongue on everybody.
Oh,
everything.
When he licks her, or when they're in the restaurant and he just takes an olive off of Sherlock's plate and eats it, and then he washes his hands in Sherlock's
water.
Glass of water.
Yeah. Everything's
just
disgusting.
Like,
he pees.
In his fireplace?
I thought it was an improvement. it is shocking. You're just like, oh, like it's awful.
But it's great. Like
it's perfect for the character.
Yeah, it's that idea of like not demanding power, knowing that you have power, and just like the actor and the director, I think, did a great job, and the writer, Steven, did a great job of just setting up exactly how high status this guy is, and how much, and he knows it. He knows it. He doesn't have to like force it on anyone. He doesn't have to yell. You know.
Oh no.
And a lesser actor, I think.
Yelling would be the last thing.
Exactly.
You want this character to do.
And he just undermines everyone around him, and it's so.
Goes in to threaten the woman at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
She says, "Your hands are
sweaty.
Clammy. It's disgusting." He says, "The whole world is wet by touch." I'm like, come on. It's like, I mean, one thing I'll say about both of these series, they don't hold back on, they're like, just go the extra step.
Yeah, just take it there. Take
and
us
say
there.
That he's a puddle of filth.
Yeah.
And he's loving it.
Yeah.
He knows it.
Oh, and you can just see how it just, he revels in making people so uncomfortable and just so, and just degrading people.
Yes. Yes. It is it's degrading.
Yeah.
To men and women alike, doesn't matter.
No. Yeah.
It's whoever he needs to.
Or wants to.
Yeah.
Like, it's what I found really fascinating. He pushes people to like reveal their pressure points instead of like waiting for people to come to him to like deliver information. Like he put Sherlock in a position to reveal, oh, you love Watson.
But also, I mean, the first time he looks at him, you see how many there are? They're going like this. Most people have one
like
or two.
Like one or two pressure
it's
points.
It's a huge grocery list of pressure points.
Should we talk
Sherlock's
about
a fucking mess. We all know it by this time.
Yeah.
This is the third season, right?
Uh-huh. It's like,
so
add
we,
morphine.
That's right. We know all of that stuff. So we start, they haven't seen Sherlock for a while.
Yeah.
And by them, I mean John and Mary.
And Mary. It's been about a month.
Yeah.
And one of their neighbors comes in, worried her son hasn't come home. She doesn't know where he is.
They think they know where he is.
Yes. Yes.
Which is like a crack den.
Yeah. A drug user. And so John goes, meets Wiggy.
Martin Freeman being his tough, annoying little Watson.
Yeah.
Yeah. The angry little man.
Yeah.
That's what I always think.
That's him. That's him.
Yeah, he goes on in. And
he just smashes his way into this crack house.
Punches his way in.
I'm looking for Isaac. Get out of my way.
Nancy's punching with every, yes. And he beats up this poor, weak drug addict with a knife.
Sprains his arm and finds not only the son of his neighbor,
but
our favorite Band-Aid cucumber pants.
Yeah, there's John.
John.
Fun sweat to see you. And may I, this is right out of Man with the Twisted Lip. So in the way where Watson does go into an opium den and to find this guy who's their friend.
And who else is there?
Watson. Nice to see you here. And Watson's just like, ugh. And there's always a way bigger reaction modern than there was in Victorian times. Like, they come out fighting with each other.
Yeah.
Well, and I do feel like this version of Sherlock, he's bigger and stronger than he thinks he is.
Yeah.
He throws the door
literally off the hinges. You just see them storm out, and it's high Sherlock.
High as a kite.
Oh my god, looking like hell.
So, like, well, I'll say, like, I mean, I saw Patrick Melrose, I saw this, and I have to say, Cumberbatch, he is so good playing drunk and or high for someone who I think is pretty clean cut.
Sure, yeah.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
And I think that also proves you don't have to, like, people go, I have to drink so I can get the feeling for the role. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah.
It's watching people.
That's exactly right.
Is what you do. But that shit is so funny when he does it. And I actually don't think of him as, like, highly comedic as an actor, but he can be very, very funny.
Especially in this role.
Hello, Isaac.
Miss Watson, can I get in, please?
Yes, of course, get in. Where's John?
They're having a fight.
Who is?
For God's sakes, John, I'm on a case.
A month. That's all it took. One.
I'm working.
Sherlock Holmes in a drug den. How's that going to look?
I'm undercover.
No, you're not.
Well, I'm not now.
In, both of you, quickly.
Please, can I come? I think I got a broken arm.
No, go away.
No, let him.
Why?
Yeah, just get in. It's a sprain.
Anyone else? I mean, we're taking everybody home, are we?
What was his drug name? I can't.
Jesse.
Jesse.
And they're all like, nope. Mary's waiting at the wheels. Poor pregnant.
Pregnant Mary.
They cram all these gross guys in the car because his other friend is like, he broke my arm. Yeah, and she's like, no, go away. And then Watson's like,
I kind of did.
Yeah. So we have the poor son. Uh-huh. He was a sad little man. We have Benedict. Is he in the middle?
Yeah, he's sitting bitch in the middle.
And then we have this other skinny little guy who looks like the guy from Pulp.
Yeah.
Sitting next to him, and then the two smallest people in the front.
Yeah.
Because that's how I know. That's comedy, folks. That's how you roll. And she's just like, are we driving anyone else home? Like, do you kids?
Anyone else? Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? So they leave. I have to say, I think we talked about this before. I love the Mary Watson character.
Love Mary.
I think she was a Band-Aid because they fucked up with women so badly at the beginning.
Yes.
But she really pulled it up. God bless her. That's a lot of pressure to be like, you're gonna be our fixed woman who's like a functional character. She's like, all right. But I thought she was great. She, of course, it's Freeman's actual wife.
Is
like,
it really?
They don't cast anyone on the show who's not related to somebody. Right. That's something I've really noticed.
Benedict's parents show up in this episode.
As what?
As his parents.
Of course. What an interesting dynamic they set up between her and Sherlock.
Fascinating. Yeah. And how when you go back to when he first met Mary, mm-hmm. there's all those words that come up when he associates, like bakes her own bread, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Liar, yeah. Liar, liar, liar. Comes up a few times. And you're like, oh, maybe he's just suspicious. Maybe there's something she's not revealing.
He always knew something about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always knew. And they give you a lot of big flags, too.
Yeah.
I was suspicious already in her first episode. Where she knew about the skip code and all that. I thought they're setting this woman up for something.
Oh, okay. See,
I don't know what it is.
I missed that. She was so smart.
She was almost as smart as him. Mm. And the way she, I think it was in that first episode, she didn't flinch with the whole motorcycle chase and everything, which, by the way, is one of the greatest things they ever filmed on that show. It was, of all the Sherlock Holmes, they're like, we have to make him cool.
Yeah.
He steals a motorcycle, she gets on the motorcycle, and they have the stunt ride. Like, no one in England has ever done this before. It's just this huge stunt ride going over weird bridges, through these things, and super fast.
Yeah.
But she wasn't even like, oh my god. Like, she was just like, it's fine. Like
just held on, knew exactly.
They both sort of just jump off of it. It falls when they get there. And neither of them question why the other one isn't okay with that.
That's, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, that's true. I feel
like they just are on a vibe right from the beginning. Yeah. And it's not a romantic vibe. But no. It's just like, I get you.
There's just a recognition.
Yeah.
Somewhere internally. Yeah.
So, yeah. When all this comes out, I feel like we've been lightly warned, but we just don't know what it's going to be.
Exactly what it's going to be.
But, of course, this guy, Magnuson, has papers about her past life, which is some, like, crazy... You know,
assassin.
Freelance assassin, basically. Yeah. They say she's probably not really English. She might be Russian or Czechoslovakian. We don't know what she is. But she's English now. I didn't notice till this time where they're at their Christmas dinner with the Holmeses. Under the laptop, it talks about how Lord Smallwood killed himself, suicide.
Really?
So that's what happened. The letters, right? So again, going back to the original source material, but very subtly.
Yes,
throwing that stuff in.
Fuck, that's great.
So I think the other thing I love about this show is that these guys, no matter how they move stuff around and they change stuff, they know this source material inside and out. There's no cutting corners. They don't know something. Or they're just going to work it all in.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to work the feeling of it in.
So if things have to be omitted, it's sacrificed, I think, for the betterment of the tone of the show and being able to make it feel like Sherlock Holmes, but still in the 21st century.
Give us a surprise. I think that's the other thing, too.
This one, this surprised multiple times. Janine is another good example of like, oh my God, what?
Brilliant.
Yeah.
And again, this story has this false romance in it, which they ingeniously work in from this woman that he met at the wedding.
Yeah.
And she's perfect. You almost want it to be real.
Yeah.
She's so beautiful. She's perfect. She's sort of funny and stuff. But I do watching the show and you're like, what's going on? You're Watson. He's just like, what the fuck?
Who paid who here? What
is happening? What is going on? He will do anything to get this guy's office, and she's the assistant. So that's what the whole thing is based on. And tragically for Janine, that's what her friendship with Mary is also based on.
Yeah, yeah. She's just getting used all over the place. At least she knows it, you know? Yeah,
I mean, they try to make you feel better. She sold her story to the tabloids. She got rich. Bought a cottage.
Yeah.
They put in a throwaway line about beekeeping.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. These guys... Maybe jerky white dudes, but they are unbelievable. Yeah.
Smart jerky white dudes.
Mark Atiss also writes and inserts himself into the story far too often. He's the brother. He also
Mycroft?
I think Mycroft is overused. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
He's really only supposed to show up once in a while.
Yeah.
And he's there a lot. And even though I really think he's a great writer and pretty good, he can't stand up to Cumberbatch. And you see that the more he's around.
Yeah.
If it was once in a while, it'd be absolutely fine. Mm. That's what I think.
Yeah.
It's way too... Like, it's almost every episode by the end.
And yeah.
It didn't start it that way, but I just think he kept going, maybe I'll put a little more of me in here.
You know who... Mycroft might be good here. You just come in. Yeah.
It's just a little bit of that happening.
Yeah.
It doesn't wreck it. I just think it's overdone.
And it is nice when it's, less frequent, because it's interesting to see that brotherly relationship and that other side of Sherlock.
Yeah. They've made it, again... You know, like many aspects of this show, I feel like they have made it far, far more hostile.
It
used to be kind of a delight to see them together.
Yeah.
And there was the whole, like, he's the smart one thing, but it wasn't...
Animosity.
Real animosity. Because he's on so much, though, they can't just get along. That would be stupid.
Yeah, not interesting television. And
really, near the beginning, they sort of hate each other. Mm-hmm. Or so it seems.
But no.
And of course, with the end, it goes too far the other way. But it's fine.
Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. No. We're talking about his last vow. What is... Oh, he pretends to propose to her over the screen. Oh, it's like watching a nightmare. You're like, no. And he's not really good at it. She lets him up. By the time they get up there, she's knocked out. So she just beat them. Sherlock creeps up into the upstairs part of the office where he finds this... Sits on his knees, sort of like
execution
shoot,
style.
Shoot.
Yeah.
She's ready to shoot, but he thinks it's Smallwood.
Yeah.
And then she turns around and uh-oh.
Oh, y'all wanted a twist?
Yeah, and then he acts very like a condescending man. She's like, I'm going to shoot you if you... And he was like, no, you won't, no. Mrs. Watson. Bang!
Oh, she does. Yeah. Oh, she fully
she
does.
Shoots
right
him.
In the chest.
Yeah, right sort of in the sternum.
Like, yeah, right here. Kind of like below the tip. They say
later it was surgery. He almost dies.
It's that, this next sequence, I love this next sequence. At first I was like, wait, what?
And then
I
fully bought it. They love to amp the drama. Oh my god. Show, like, you cannot even imagine.
Is her name Molly?
Molly's there. She comes in, she's like,
there are three ways that you could die. Which is the first? He's like, blood loss. She's like, correct. Now, what does that mean?
Is that movie rolling right now?
So she, you know, talks him through all the ways he could die, yeah. Which way does he need to fall forward or back. Yeah.
Oh, and then he talks to the brother to call him stupid. Yeah. He's a little kid for some reason. They take you all through the gamut of emotions.
Yeah. The whole child thing.
Stupid little boy.
Yeah.
They just want to make sure you're getting all of that.
Do you get it? Do you get it?
Yeah, when the show stops being a mysteries and just turns into a show.
A family drama, yeah.
That was just my side remark.
It's fine.
He sees his old dog.
Uh-huh, that was fun.
He sees fucking Moriarty
being
a fucking animal tied up in his mind palace. In an insane asylum,
yeah.
It's not sexual, it's fine.
No, not at all. Super cute.
And then he's gonna die.
Yep.
He's in the hospital, and then he thinks about John. Springs to life. The machine starts going. They're like, oh my god, he's gonna... So he wakes up.
Yeah.
He wakes
up. In the hospital. Plan went all accordingly. He did not die, and he was saved, actually, not by John, by Mary, who called the ambulance.
Yeah, she called it first.
Yeah.
Is that after the baby's born?
No, this is all pre-baby. Before. Yeah, she's just pregnant. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right, because then by Christmas, she's like super pregnant.
So then, yeah, sure.
My timeline all confused. I don't know why. It's so straightforward.
Isn't it?
Easy to follow. And then they're like, oh my god, he's recovered. He said Mary when he woke up. She's like, that's weird.
Isn't that crazy?
I love all the threatening things he goes through in the hospital. Like, it's just waking up going, you're not telling him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can tell John.
You can, like, barely see her.
Yeah.
It's like she's gonna kill me.
Yeah. And then Janine comes in, like, turns down his morphine. It's like, hey!
Oh, does it hurt?
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
It's kind of like he deserves all of that.
Yeah, kind of.
He's faking with her that he has the morphine turned way up because he doesn't want it up because as soon as she's gone, he turns it off again.
Yeah.
By the way, morphine doesn't work that fast. Like, the way he turns it down and immediately he's like, ah! You're like, no, it's still in there.
Out of my system now. Yeah, just get sucked back out.
Right away. I'm like, that's not... But it's fine. We'll go with it for the show.
Suspend your disbelief.
And then he's like, gotta go again, bye! And they're like, what the fuck?
You were just shot!
Yeah. And then he does the whole reveal thing with the house.
Sets up a projector in front of, like, this abandoned house.
Like, his kidneys falling out. She gets to shoot through a coin.
Oh, that was cool.
It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Fucking awesome.
Yeah. So yeah, he tricks her into this like old, this like facade of a house. Yeah. And then there's like someone sitting at the end and you can hear him. They're on the phone and he's asking her questions and she's revealing a bit, but not too much.
Yeah.
And then he comes out behind her and she's like, oh, a dummy. You tricked me.
Yeah.
Lights on. Turns out it's her husband.
She didn't want that.
Nope. She's like, don't tell John.
This angry little man is consumed by anger.
He's just a little teapot boiling over with rage.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad.
And they sort of get into a whole, like, he's attracted to her because she's like him. Like, that's so true.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird line that they tread.
They lean into it. Not at all in a sexual way.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, bizarre. It is bizarre.
Yeah.
Because at times I'm like, oh, are they? Were they? Could they?
Yeah.
But never.
The read I get off the show is Watson, absolutely not. Holmes, quite possibly.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the read I get off the show. But I think part of it is how the actors are choosing to play it as well.
Yeah, I think Benedict's leaning into it.
I think there is definitely an asexual nature. It's just like he doesn't know how to do that. He doesn't really want to.
He's not interested, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no.
But in that way, you could feel a love and attraction to anyone equally.
Sure, there you go.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think there's a bit of that, maybe.
Yeah.
I get that there is of love, but no, I don't think it goes there with the other guy.
No, not at all. No.
And I think it's because Freeman could never do that.
Yeah.
It's great.
Fine.
He is good.
He is good.
Like, it is good, and it's good chemistry, for sure. But Watson, for me, in this is difficult to like.
Yeah, I find when he's left with a choice to make for the character, he often goes just angry. And it's like, yeah, you don't always have to go.
They wanted him to have PTSD, and they wanted this edge on him.
Yeah.
And I think that's also, like, he's trying to sort of adhere to that, but it does go one note.
It does. It does. And I find he does in a lot of his roles.
Yes. Yeah. And I think he also wanted to be like, I have to be the guy that reacts to stuff, just like in The Office. Mm. Like, that's his whole shtick.
Yeah.
Is that reacting stuff.
Yeah.
And double takes and stuff that he has. And they do have him do that, but it can't be exactly the same. So maybe he feels like by putting this sheen of, like, rage on it, that it will be different.
Yeah. And it's... Really.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be like, he works in the show.
Oh god. No, I would,
like,
never. Yeah.
Like, again, how long can the show go without Cumberbatch in it? Not long.
No.
5 minutes.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
And then it gets to a point
none
where
none of them can make up for it.
We're just waiting for
it. Yeah, they've built it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he does not have the stuff to keep it going. They have to keep it quick.
Yeah. And I find when Sherlock's not around, he kind of goes into a bit of, like, Sherlock territory. He kind of takes on the Sherlock role. There's not... Yeah. Whereas I feel like Watson could maybe be built just individual of that entirely.
Sure.
And it's nice to have a Watson, who we'll talk about later, who does just hold their own and is interesting enough. He is great.
Yeah.
And the show works because it's the two of them.
Like, this is one of my favorites, for sure. Especially for the later part of the series, which I that started to bow a little bit.
Sure.
But this one was awesome.
Yeah.
And it is the cliffhanger.
Oh.
Here's me. Okay. I'm like, watching this, I get to the end, and it's like, hey, the Abominable Ride is next. And I'm like, let it roll. Like, I can't stop.
Sure.
I can't stop. And then I watched the whole fourth season again.
Did you?
I did. Because I wanted to be like, let's see if this is as poor as I remember. And some of it is.
Sure.
But some of it, The Abominable Bride, I had a real bad connotation with. And then when I watched it this time, I didn't think it was that bad. I actually found it quite entertaining.
Yeah.
It's just such a weird fanfic thing to be like, let's take them. And now we're going to do it right. And we're going to go to 1890 and we're really going to make this happen. And you're like,
why?
What is happening? Like,
yeah.
And I think this time when I watched it, I more appreciated the sort of Inception thing they were trying to do.
Sure.
Because the whole thing is basic, spoiler alert, the whole thing's a dream sequence that he's having as he's going in and out of this drug paralysis.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how he's waking up this, and then he's going in, like, I wasn't really awake. Oh, I what? And then he's waking up from a drug paralysis in 1890. Like, that shit is awesome. And I really, what I think I appreciated the most about it was how these two actors, including Freeman, altered the characters just enough, but not too, like, not still the same, but it's not, because it's over 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So Holmes is a little more sociable. Watson's a little more sociable.
Right.
Because Holmes, they do show he's still kind of nuts. He's sliding newspapers around instead of
words. Right.
Like,
yeah,
it's fabulous.
Yeah.
But society will not permit him to be as weird as he is now, and he doesn't have the technology, which I think makes people more weird
and isolated, and
who are already
absolutely
like that.
Absolutely.
So I think that, because that made me think of when you were saying, like, the technology and the show, and I'm like, is this what makes Holmes so much more extra than what he was like in the past?
Just the wealth of knowledge that's available at your fingertips with the internet.
Yeah.
That can drive you probably further insane if you're a genius. Just knowing all of that is probably...
And takes you more into yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Like, how he will only text, he doesn't want to call. Like, that's the cry of the millennial. No offense. They don't want to use the phone. They only want to text.
Yeah.
Is he a millennial? Absolutely not. He's not a millennial. He's my age. But I think that's what they were trying to work in.
Yeah.
Was this, like, mildly autistic, like, weird thing that I think is exacerbated by the use of... I'm not saying the technology is causing it.
No.
I'm saying it's exacerbated.
But you can isolate yourself a lot easier now than you could then. You had to leave the house more often in the 1890s than you do now.
And you had to act a certain way.
Yeah. Or you would be completely ostracized.
Yeah. Everything about it's gorgeous. Yeah. So I love that. That's not the show we're talking about.
But fun tangent.
It was fun, and I had to watch the rest. I had to watch poor old Mary bite the dust again.
Which, taking that bullet for Sherlock.
Yeah, the only reason I okay with that. Well, you know what? Mary Watson dies in the stories, so I had a feeling
she's
not going to make it. Wow. Like, they didn't make a big deal out of it whatsoever, because all of these things were just peripheral side things.
Right.
But because she was Mary Watson, I just thought that probably, and then all the stuff they'd done with her, I thought she's not going to live. She is not going to live. It's not going to happen.
Sure.
And so why not give her this spectacular...
Yeah.
And it was believable, too. He acted like a douche, and she jumped in front of a bullet, because that's the kind of shit she was trained to do. But she wasn't wearing a vest, and she died.
Oh, Mary.
It made him re-question all of his values, which, again, I don't think a sociopath would do.
Yeah.
He was cured!
Oh, thanks, Mary!
Yeah.
Just one woman had to die. Just one.
To do was get killed for you to re-examine your life.
I kind of liked how they left it, the way that they chose to.
Yeah, I think it would have been way too crowded to try to get it in here. They sort of left it with the computer chip
and
the USB drive.
He throws it in the fire. He's like, oh, I love you.
Yeah.
I'm still pissed, but I love
but
you.
But I'm allowed to get angry at you at any time.
Yeah.
I love that part.
It might come out now and then.
Moffat. Mm. Again, they try to fix a lot of that in the cut. Like the Christmas, the Abominable Bride, very interesting.
Uh-huh.
If sloppy feminist statement.
Mm.
Very interesting.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Especially the way Sherlock connects it to the modern day things that he's done.
Sure. Yeah.
The ladies.
Yeah.
Like Janine. I actually think Moffat was spoken to, because he was doing Doctor Who. He was doing this, and both of them were terrible on women at first.
Mm.
And I think something happened, because some of the fixes were real sloppy and maybe just as insulting, but suddenly these fixes were happening. Sure. And they were just like, "What? You can't do this. What are you doing?"
The higher-ups were coming on saying, it's a different time.
I think so. Like, I mean, they just were really misogynist. It wasn't subtle. It was right out there. And it was... or just writing these women characters who were... like
just
that,
one-offs. Just...
Yeah, they were very unpleasant. Very unpleasant characters. And it was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
There's already no black people. And the one black woman they used was a cunt. On the show, like that woman in the police precinct at the beginning of Sherlock, that was a mistake. I'll never understand what that was.
Yeah.
So he had trouble with women. The men he was great on.
Yeah.
The women he had a lot of trouble with. And this Mary Watson character was his way of saying, we're going to fix this.
Sure.
Somebody help me fix this. And I think he had help.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
Probably. I do. Yeah, because she's
even
very
well
written.
She may have helped.
Like,
I don't know who helped.
Sure, yeah.
But he had help.
Yeah.
There was something so intriguing about the relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They've got a really interesting connection, and I like that. I like
that
she
says you should have gotten married. You two should have gotten married, but you know that wouldn't work.
No. Oh my God.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
no.
you could see someone's mind going to that. So of course he's jealous.
Yeah.
They're the same.
It's
the very which people do. If you know, like, I'll notice that people who have like. Partners, and if we're best friends, the partner is like, I notice their personality is a bit like mine.
Interesting.
Because you attract the same kind of person.
Sure.
In different varieties.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it is believable that he would do that.
Yeah, surround himself with incredible geniuses who lie to him. Oops. What does that say about you, Dr. Watson? What does that say about you?
Yeah. Oh, I should mention, too, I looked it up, because every time I watch this, I'm like, what is that house, Appledore?
Oh,
what
my God.
What the fuck? Because it's real.
I want it. This is real.
It's Swinhey House in Gloucestershire, renamed Appledore for this BBC drama. It's owned by Sir David McMurtry, boss of precision engineering firm Renishaw. But he doesn't live there. It's a building for events and all kinds of things. But it's all like eco-perfect and...
Oh, of course,
everything
Love
about
that.
It is green and all of it. And it's built into the environment the
it's
way it's like built. But you see,
gorgeous.
You're like, oh my God.
It's,
the first time it was on, I was like, is that a special effect? And then they're walking up to it. So I'm like, no, that's a real place. It's a real building. I thought maybe it was in Norway or something.
I assumed it was somewhere in Europe.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, this house is not in England anywhere. Yeah. That's amazing.
Please state your full name for the record.
Charles Augustus Magnusson.
Mr. Magnusson, How would you describe your influence over the Prime Minister?
The British Prime Minister?
Any of the British Prime Ministers you have known?
I never had the slightest influence over any of them. Why would I?
I notice you've had 7 meetings at Downing Street this year. Why?
Because I was invited.
Can you recall the subjects under discussion?
Not without being more indiscreet than I believe is appropriate.
Do you think it right that a newspaper proprietor, a private individual, and in fact a foreign national, should have such regular access to our Prime Minister?
I think it's supposed to be Rupert Murdoch.
Okay, yeah.
Because, I mean, he's the most hated by all British celebrities.
And right.
They were tapping everybody's phone. I just think that the whole speech that they give him where he's like, it doesn't have to be true. It just has to be in the paper.
And I don't have to prove it.
You're fucked. It's the most maddening kind of blackmail. There's nothing to get back. That's why Sherlock's so fucked.
That's, yeah.
That doesn't seem much like Sherlock Holmes either. But in this, they're just saying this is the only way to delete this information.
It's to just kill him. Yeah. I thought it was going to be like Mycroft or one of the police who was going to shoot Magnuson.
Right. The guy's unarmed. He hasn't done anything. That's the thing. Like, he's like, I'm not a criminal.
Right.
I'm not a murderer. I'm not going to let people die. I'm just going to scare them. He thought he was himself as a businessman.
Power.
He's making money off people, right? Shooting an email scammer. Like, nobody's going to do that, even if they've collected $40 million.
Right.
Unless somebody just goes, I'm going to sacrifice my life to end this guy's life. Which I think is what he thought he was doing.
Just to finish it.
Yep.
Just end, yeah. Yep. If this is where it ends, then
God
I'm going to end
Mary.
It.
That's who's foremost in his mind the whole time.
Yeah.
My big question about the show is, do we have to have the thing with the brother looking at the kid on the thing with his hands up like this? I thought it was real mushy and too much.
Yep.
It's sad enough with the man there.
Yeah.
You see that child. You don't have to shove that down my throat.
Yeah.
Because he is such a good actor.
This
you
crying
child.
You
see a vulnerability that's there with somebody who didn't know what else to do. And for once has sort of lost control.
That's what
they were doing.
This story and the screen adaptations do a great job of showing Sherlock's vulnerability and that he's not infallible and that he can lose it too.
I think he's so shocked by how bad he just fucked up with thinking that the vaults weren't a thing.
Where do you think he got that information, that intel? Like,
he just said it like it was fact.
Yeah.
I think it's probably that the guy had talked about it. Because he talks about vaults. Mm. I open the doors, I go into my vaults. And he keeps saying that, then he opens it and it's covered. And they're like,
It's a white room.
Yeah.
It's just an empty room.
And also the fact that he should have known, because he uses the same technique. Which is the
mind palace.
I don't even like saying mind palace, but that's what they're both doing.
I love saying mind palace.
That's what they're both doing. And he was fooled by his own. So it's really embarrassing. And I think he just goes, I'm just going to end this.
Sure. Yeah.
And I don't care if I die with him.
So what did you think of that then, of Holmes killing?
I think they got themselves into a place where it had to be done.
Yeah.
It's a big veer off of the thing that he's trying to convince you of, which is the sociopath. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's not that behavior.
Yeah.
Because he's doing it for a person.
That's
all
true.
He's doing the whole time is thinking about her well-being.
That's true.
Literally the whole time. So by now we're totally off that. But they know that because it's what he says to him.
Sorry, no chance for you to be a hero this time, Mr. Holmes.
Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, stand away from that man. Do it now.
I'll do your research. I'm not a hero. I'm a high-functioning sociopath. Merry Christmas!
Now it's just it's a label. That's what other people call me.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to realize I'm completely psychologically fucked up and damaged, and that's what we get into in the next season.
Right, yeah.
Is that a mistake? That I'm not so sure about.
Sure, sure.
So that's going over his last
battle. It's so good.
It's excellent.
Yeah, it's a really well done. Like, the pacing is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it goes and goes. It's just this train that speeds up the whole episode.
What would be the rating for this for you? Let's compare it to this series. Like, in the context
of this series. I would give it, like, 4 crack pipes out of 5.
Okay.
In terms of this series, like, if I couldn't off the top of my head, but, like, rating this series episodes, it would be way up there.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go, I think I'd go 4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. Hey?
And the half is, I have a few questions around the ending. But even with that, I think they did what they had to do to get to where they needed to go.
They did. So
they're sort of out of options by the end. And it was certainly nothing if not dramatic. And if they hadn't put in the little kid, maybe I would have gone full 5.
Sure.
I just thought it was too mushy and silly.
Right, not upsetting and like, oh, that's sad. Like, upsetting and like, really, that's
very how you went? Yeah. In a very shallow way.
Yeah. Like, it feels like you're better than this, Sherlock. That's what it kind of felt like. This child who just kept appearing.
I mean, and you already saw the kid earlier. It was just like, we get it.
We don't need it. We don't need this scene with a fucking dog in the hallway. Why?
Calm yourself. Take yourself out of shock now. Picture your dog red bed.
Who could imitate him?
Oh.
How low? That's freaking all right. It's barely registering. It's the voice no deaf person can hear.
Right, yeah.
they just hear silence.
Dogs just doesn't even register.
Yeah, exactly.
Question. Mm-hmm. What would your mind palace look like? Give me a tour. Like,
I think it would look
how's it decorated?
The castle that you could get for My Little Ponies, and it was like a triangle, and it was pink, and it had two roofs. I had that.
Oh my god.
Naturally. I think it would be like a life size, because I want to get into a real basket, and like somebody does this, and the basket goes up. Because it had like an elevator in it.
Cute.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like that a lot.
I do have weird nooks and crannies I go into my head, believe it or not.
Oh, I believe it.
I think you need more mental discipline to make it a fully realized, like, building with interconnecting rooms, because that I don't have.
Yeah.
But I do have spaces and places, for sure. Yeah. But they're more disconnected.
Like more separated.
Yeah, I don't feel like one relates to the other sometimes.
Right, sure.
The way it is in, like, he has, like, a stairwell and where things are and stuff. Yeah.
You've got, like, the childhood memory room right next to, like, college, but in between there's, like, the bathroom where you go and think about, like, I don't know. Yeah.
Pooping. I don't know. But I think everybody has an element of that because we all relate to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we just can't imagine having it that together.
Knowing, being able to navigate it rather than, like, I feel like I'm led through my mind palace. Yeah. Like, but I'm not leading. Like, I'm being dragged through by some, like, goblin.
Or you get there not knowing how.
Sure.
Yeah, do you get that?
Yeah, you ever been to Jilly's? Something like that. Just an open, real old strip club.
Yeah.
There's
sad talent.
Yeah, it's kind of like what you see is what you get. Yeah. You know, not a lot of surprises, but grosser than you think it's going to be. Especially when you turn the lights on.
I wonder if he had that pony palace. You know why I say that? Because I'm an only child.
Right.
And even when I first started watching the show, and I wasn't talking about Sherlock, I meant the actor.
Mm.
Right away, I was like, that is an only child. I know it. I know it. Because we sense each other. Like our friend Donna.
Yeah.
When I first met him, I was like, this is an only child. We know it. And it's not that you're an asshole or you're super spoiled. It's,
no.
That's varying degrees with every kid.
Sure.
But you are special. You're very special.
The way your eyes lit up.
Special. And I thought this is a special boy. Right here. He is a very special boy.
Oh, this is my special boy.
And he is. I don't know about that, but I just knew. This sounds horrible, and it's not, because I actually, he's an attractive person, but I did think he was one of the strangest looking people I'd seen on TV.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah. No, agreed. Yeah.
In the States, never.
No.
Now, sure. Now they all would want him on, but I'm talking about not knowing who he is.
Yeah, he would be relegated to, like,
yeah.
Oh, you're that weird country bumpkin neighbor from down the street who comes in and says something a little weird.
Or a bad guy, or a super nerd.
Which
he kind of is. Like, I mean, even look at the Star Trek thing. They were like, Wrath of Khan, boom.
Yeah.
And he took over the film. So you gotta watch out when you're doing shit like that sure. in America, right? Yeah. You don't know what you're doing. But I watched it for like 2 minutes and I thought, yeah, this guy's Sherlock Holmes. Mm-hmm. Even though he doesn't really fit the exact, like the crowish note, he doesn't have that. He is more rounded, sort of. And I mean, it's very strange.
Yes.
But you get that, you're like, yeah. Yeah. Because you need someone very unusual.
And this, dear listener, not unlike the final problem, is the end of part one in a two-part series on Sherlock Holmes. Tune into the Popular Parallax next week, that's Tuesday, March 12th, for the conclusion to our discussion, where we'll be going over The Master Blackmailer, which was part of the classic Granada series starring Jeremy Brett as Sherlock Holmes. As always, you can find us, The Popular Parallax, on all social media, and thank you for listening. See you next week!